Well, good afternoon, folks, and what a joy again to be here with you in Benalla. And we come with some sadness, of course. One of our number is no longer with us, is with the Lord. But we have that assurance that Sandra is with the Lord. Now, just a few weeks ago, I started this study on Behold the Man. When we started looking at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on one occasion we looked at his preparation and his annunciation. There were several people involved in his preparation. Caesar, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Joseph, Mary, Simeon and Anna. I said that sovereignty knows no boundaries. Sovereignty has no limitations. Zacharias was at the altar. Caesar was in Rome. Joseph at the carpenter's bench. Mary, a humble maid, awaits. Simeon and Anna are being prepared for his coming. Zacharias, a righteous man, praying at the altar, did not believe the angel, and the angel rebuked him. But Mary said unto the angel, be it unto me according to thy word. Two different attitudes in relation to the word of God. One, a strong believer, a righteous man, working in the ministry, praying for a son. An angel appeared and said, your prayers are answered. And he didn't believe. And there was Mary, a humble maid. And the angel told her what was going to happen. And she believed. Two different people with different responses. Okay, so we've looked at his preparation. We've looked at his annunciation. Today we will continue beholding the man in his incarnation. Incarnation. Now, the word incarnation comes from the Greek word carnia, carnia, which means flesh. We use it when we speak of a carnivorous beast. That's from the Greek word carnia. It is a carnivorous beast is one that eats flesh, like a lion or a tiger and so forth. And when we speak of carnal people, that's from the word carnia, carnal people. They are those who are fleshly people, fleshly in their outlook, just like those that Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, which says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. And of course, there's no doubt he was speaking to Christians here. These people were Christians, born again believers, because Paul calls them brethren. But he could not teach them the deep things of God because they had not grown spiritually. They were 20, 30, 40 year olds, still needing the ABC of the Word of God. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I can't teach you the deep things of God, he says. Because you're carnal. Walking in the flesh. You haven't. And I have to speak to you like I speak to your baby. That's what he's saying. Terrible indictment against this church that Paul wrote to. But then when we talk about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's talking about him coming in the flesh, which is quite different. Our Lord Jesus Christ came fleshly in his outlook. Philippians 2 verse 7 says, but made him reputation. I took upon him the form of a servant I was made in the likeness of men. In other words, he became flesh. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing in prayer before we look into this incarnation. Let's pray. Our Father, again we give thee thanks for the afternoon service. We thank you for those that are out and those that are faithful in relation to coming here each and every week. And we do pray for Pastor Lee and Dorothy who's not too well at this time. And we commit her to thee and we ask, Lord, you put your hand upon her, bring her back to your wanted health and strength. But we do give thee thanks for those that are here. May you bear each and every one of them up. May it be that each one of us might be uplifted in our most holy faith today as we look at the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, take the speaker, hide him behind the cross. Let no man be seen save Jesus only. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the Lord came in the flesh, but made him of reputation. Now, our Lord could have come with a reputation. He could have been the greatest general that ever walked this earth. Who was the greatest general, David, that ever walked this earth? Was it MacArthur? Was it some other general that's known to you and not known to anybody else? Okay, so there's lots of good generals, you know. It could have been a general, it could have been a king. It could have been the greatest king. It could have been the wealthiest person. Who's the wealthiest person in the world today? Elon Musk must be up there. But our Lord came from heaven's glory. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. I mean, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't want to come as a king or a president or a wealthy person or the greatest general that ever lived. He came and made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He wasn't even born, as it were, in a well-to-do family. Let's put it that way. He became a servant to man, took upon himself a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. In other words, he became flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Now, you know why it says that? Because in John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? Word was God. Isn't that right? In the beginning was the Word with God. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And then in 1 Timothy 3:16 it says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, where's the JWs now? Jesus God. I don't know what they do with this verse. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, received up into glory. There can be no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in the flesh, he was. And folks, this certainly is a mystery. There's no doubt about that. And we can't even pretend to understand it. But with thanks and with gratitude, we ought to thank our Savior, Dan Daly, who came from heaven's glory and took upon himself human flesh and died for us. You know, he didn't have to do that. But because he loved us so much, he did have to do that. That's what we call an oxymoron. He didn't have to do that. But he did have to do that because his love compelled him to do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So he became incarnate. Now the birth was to take place in Bethlehem of Judea. And as I've said recently, folks, I try to study out the details of the word. Now, why do you think it gives this detail? say the birth was to take place in Bethlehem. Well, let me tell you, the reason of Judea is because there are two Bethlehems. So there will be no confusion. There's two Bethlehems. There's Bethlehem in Galilee, about 12 kilometers from Nazareth. And then there is Bethlehem in Judea, a few kilometers south of Jerusalem. So that's why it tells you Judea. And it was to this Bethlehem that Caesar's decree brought Joseph and Mary for the birth, the promised birth of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's good to look back in Scripture. I think I've taught you that hopefully over the years. It's good to look back in Scripture and see first mention. Now, I've mentioned this before, I'm sure, so you'll probably remember it. But let's go back to Genesis 35. Back to Genesis 35. Wonderful portion of Scripture. Genesis 35. Genesis 35. I'll just read a few. Verses 16 to 20, just. And this is the first mention. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel traveled, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, remember that midwife, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Wonderful portion in the Word of God. First mention of Bethlehem. Now, it's always good to go back to the first mention. Bethlehem was the place where Rachel gave birth, which means, now listen to this, the son of my sorrow. And didn't we read that or sing that today somewhere? So Benoni means the son of my sorrows. And then she died in childbirth. But Jacob, his father, called him Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand. And all this happened in Bethlehem of Judea. And folks, this foreshadows, it's a picture, if you like, of what happened in Bethlehem of Judea some 1,700 years later. When our Lord was born, who was known as the Man of Sorrows, but now is seated as the Son at the Father's right hand. So whenever you read the first instance of a word or a phrase in the Bible, it usually has significance. Bethlehem was also the place, I'll go through these ones quickly, we're not going to turn to them. Bethlehem was also the place where Ruth met Boaz. Boaz was the son of Rahab, who married Salmon. And of course we know the whole story there. Ruth was a Gentile bride, Boaz was a Jew. And it's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love between the Lord and his bride, the Gentile bride. Of course, she represents the church. You can also read about that in Matthew 1:5, Ruth 1:1, Ruth 4 and verse 21. Now it was also known as Royal City. Luke chapter 2 and verse 4 and verse 7, it's called Royal David City. And the Lord was born in danger because there was no room for them in the inn. And of course in 1 Samuel 16:4 and then 1 Samuel 17, we have the story of Samuel and the anointing of David in Bethlehem, Judah. So it's mentioned quite a bit in Scriptures. And this King of Glory, whose train filled the temple, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, is the babe who is wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, and Mary alone looked after him. I say to you to remember something. Even the slave women in Egypt had midwives. Rachel had a midwife and so on. But Mary and Joseph had a stable and a manger. Wonderful thing. And folks, conception was miraculous. His birth was natural. He came into this world by the common process of natural childbirth. And in every sense, grew up in a normal family situation, under the care and control of his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. And for his father was able to on occasions, this my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And as I read that, I just wondered, can he say that about us? You see, we are sons of God and joint heirs with Christ. Can our Heavenly Father say that he is well pleased with us in these days? The incarnation. We've seen the preparation, the annunciation, the incarnation. Now we will look at the adoration. We're going to spend a lot of time in each one of those, but the adoration. Folks, the second chapter of Luke is so beautiful, it really is, because it brings together the angels from on high and the lowly shepherds. Let's say the profound who knew God and his will with the simple pastors, shepherds of the sheep. I say simple in this regard, this respect. They were not theologians. Heaven, Israel's theologians. Heaven bypassed learned ones. Israel bypassed, the learned ones were bypassed, the false shepherds were bypassed of the nation, and the angels came to the shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their sheep by night. And folks, here is the true shepherd's ministry. Staying with the sheep, watching and guarding over the sheep against the enemies, even in the darkness of night, they watched over their sheep. The shepherd of Israel was coming incarnate to Bethlehem, and it seems so fitting that these Judean shepherds shall be the first to hear and see. I'm sure you do, I know I do. I try to put myself in that particular situation and what it would have been like. And of course my favorite place to be would have been on the road to Emmaus, only because I love typical teaching and the Lord's expounded things concerning themselves, starting at Moses and the prophets and all the scriptures. So the whole of the New Old Testament, he expounded onto them concerning themselves. Picture of himself. That's where I did. But it was a great scene. It would have been can you imagine how these shepherds felt? They're probably sitting in their paddocks, just watching their sheep, making sure that no wolf or lion or some other beast would come and tear up their sheep and so forth. And maybe a few of them sitting together talking about the things of the day, maybe the mundane things of life. And all of a sudden, the angels appear. A magnificent scene. An angel, the glad tidings of great joy to these poor shepherds, these humble shepherds in the field. And he says, fear not, a Savior, Christ the Lord. What a wonderful message this angel brought. Glad tidings indeed of great joy. And then suddenly, in the highest. Then the shepherds. Look at chapter 2 and verse 16 of Luke. It says, and they came with Jesus. Now that word in the Greek means they virtually ran the whole way. They came with him. Found Mary and Joseph and the babe in the manger. So no doubt it was early days. The babe and the shepherd went once and they came with haste. Now, how different, I keep mentioning this, but how different is Zacharias in chapter 1 and verse 20, who did not believe the angel. Chapter 1 and verse 20 again, I'll read it. And behold, be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be fulfilled. Thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Who was this speaking? Well, the angel soon let him know. And the angel said, I'm Gabriel, the sons of God, and I'm sent to show you these things, these glad things. And he didn't believe. And here was a man of God at the altar. We looked at that the last time. And he said, for us, because the angel said, there's a word, Zacharias. I don't believe you. Well, why are you praying then? You know, you're praying for sound from God, and you don't believe me, you're going to be dumb until these things be performed. And we looked at that. But how different it is with the shepherds. As soon as they heard what the angel said, they came because they wanted to see the Christ child. Now today many hear the good news that Christ has come. But unfortunately, they have come to him with haste. Many hear the news of the Lord. I mean, we know that Christmas is celebrated on the 25th of December and all the rest of it, and the whole world virtually rejoices, and they talk about the babe in the manger. And all. So they've heard, but they don't come to him with haste. I remember, I can go back a long time now, you know, almost as long as Arthur, you know. Only 50, 60 years ago, many people were being saved. Many people were being saved. I don't normally do this. Here was one of the meetings I was at. 12,000 people in Paisley preaching the gospel and hundreds coming to the Lord. 12,000. The only place you see 12,000 eyes are a soccer match or a football match. You don't see them in churches now. Or you see the mega churches in America that are way off beam. But anyhow, these shepherds came with haste. And I remember many years ago that people would come in haste after they heard the word of God. There was a time when most people would have gone to church and they would have heard the word of God. But now it's so watered down and so-called Christians are so weak and woke in these days that people are not interested in going to church. Few and far between as far as people getting saved. These men, these shepherds heard the message from God. Directly from God, angels in the paddocks. The glory of the Lord joined around them, and they could not wait to come into his presence. Isn't that wonderful? Couldn't wait. They came with haste. And folks, those of us who have believed, those of us ought to be eager to come into his presence in these days. But as you know, I go around some churches, not going to mention any names, but I'm seeing different effects in these days. Different churches I know of have changed their evening service times. Some have done away with evening services because nobody's coming to them. There's no eagerness to go there. They've changed families with children. And we have families here with children. and our children did not suffer one little bit by going out Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Thursday evening, whatever the case might be. But some churches are compromised and changed, and it's not happening. See, even the COVID experiment or experience to convince people to stay at home. Because during COVID, everybody was watching live stream. They said, this is good, I don't have to go to church. Don't even have to tithe. I'm not there to put it in the basket, you know. And they sit at home. Yeah, the old devils. He's not stupid, you know. And there just seems to be no enthusiasm, no zeal, no to attend meetings anymore. Hebrews 10, now you know this well, Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking, you know, some is, but exhorting, and that means doing it right now, of course, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's a wonderful thing that God has still been so gracious to us to allow us to meet each and every Sunday. And of course, that's going to come to an end, I believe, very soon. Look at the state of the world. I just heard today, because we've been away for 4 or 5 days, and then we were 10 days up in Sydney, and we went before that. And we're falling behind with the news, but I understand that the Olympic ceremony was full of woke people and lesbians and all the rest of it, and even making a mockery of the Last Supper. And I find that, I believe it, because I was told it, but I find that unbelievable that a country like France has gone so woke. But not only that, they're pandering to a certain extremist religious group, and that's why they've allowed things like that to happen. And so, let me just say, these shepherds are a great example to us. They assembled themselves together around the Lord. They came with haste. They assembled themselves around the Lord. And then they went out exhorting. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made the saying which was told them concerning the child. And so not only did they make haste after hearing the angels, when they came to Mary and Joseph and saw the child, they made it known abroad. They witnessed and testified about what they had heard. And again, folks, it behoves us, we who have been with the Lord, to make it known abroad. Let's be witnesses. Let's be his ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. Let's tell others about the Lord Jesus. We've been with him just around the Lord's table. Appreciate the word, David, around the Lord's table. And we just need to tell others. Tell others. I'll tell you why in just a moment. Now, the part I left out of that verse, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad concerning the child. And the part I left out was the saying with them. This was from and what exactly was made known unto them? Well, we have to go back to verse 11. Verse 11 says this, and unto born in the city of David, a Savior which the Lord, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They witnessed to others, and they wondered at the things told to them. The actual meaning here is they wondered in amazement at those things. Now, what I want you to look at now, the amazing situation, the angels, the message, the child, and we too are privileged to know these things. But listen to this. I just picked this up a few days ago. Verse 19 says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, ponder means to reflect carefully. The others wondered, but Mary pondered. And then in verse 20, we are told that the shepherd glorified God as it was told unto them. And then in verse 18 it says, which were told them. And then verse 17, made known abroad the saying which was told them. You know what that tells me? That tells me they were the word of God. They were told. Now the scriptures doesn't have to say all those things. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made no saying which was told them concerning the child. And then verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so we have the word of God, and it tells us. Verse 18, verse 20, and verse 17, as it was told unto them. And so we have the word of God. This is what's told unto us. And we need to tell it to others. Not to come off with our own funny little stories. Not to change the word of God. Not to give us purpose, which nobody understands and believes. But this is what's told unto us as it was told unto them. Okay. Now in these days of humanism, wokeness, and whatever, it's our responsibility to tell others what's been told unto us, either in person or in the Word, through the Word. Now, the Gospel of Luke does not record the visit of the wise men from the East. And they too came and showered our Savior with gifts. And they showed their adoration. Matthew's Gospel, the kings of the Orient came to visit the King of Kings. Please turn to Matthew chapter 2. How are we going for time? Oh, I'll get plenty of time. Okay. Their visits recorded in Matthew's Gospel. King of Kings and Lord of Lords was visited by these kings of the Orient, these magi, for want of a better name, the wise men, the Word of God calls them. So we'll stick to the wise men. Matthew chapter 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east. We don't know how many, but they came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Oh, what a slap in the face to Herod. Huh? Where is he? We've come to worship the new king. And of course, chapter 2 and verse 1, sorry. And so, these wise men wanted to meet the new king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And they were certainly wise. They followed heaven's direction. That's chapter 2 and verse 2. They certainly followed heaven's direction to the one who was born the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Luke's gospel speaks of a man, a lowly man. Behold the man. But Matthew's gospel speaks of the king of the Jews. Folks, have you ever thought about this? These wise men studied the stars. What do you call that? Astrologers? Wouldn't be astronomers. Star studiers. That's what they were. Yeah, star studiers. They noticed this new star. They lived a long way away from Jerusalem. They got together their treasures and set off to see a baby. These were very influential men. These were rich people. These were people of another society, another country. Probably Persia is what most people believe. Folks, that to me is great faith That's great faith. Born a long way away in Persia, wealthy, studying the universe, and they see this star, and they knew what it was about. We have seen his star, and we've come to worship the one that's born King of the Jews. How did they know all that? Well, God obviously revealed it to them somewhere along the line. But they eventually came to where Jesus was. Now, I want you to watch this, because it really irks me whenever I see these Christmas scenes. But Matthew chapter, and we can say this because there's no children here, but Matthew chapter 2 and verse 7 says this: Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Liar, liar, liar. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now listen, and when they were come into the house, no longer a stable, no longer a manger, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, no longer a baby, a young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of frankincense. Right. They set off to see this baby. I suppose, and I've read different commentaries, a year to a year and a half old at this time. Because Herod inquired about this. When was this going to take place? When was this going to happen? And so he massacred all of age and under. 2 years of age and under. And I think he was being careful. If he was told, well, the baby would be 1 year old now, 18 months old, he said, well, I'll make sure I'll get everybody. And I just was given the Bible quiz last night to Max and Leo and Ivy. And I said, well, how old was the children that Herod slaughtered? And it was Leo who said, all the children were age and under. And that means that Jesus was the only one at that age. So it's interesting. It's interesting what the young ones pick up. And so I thought about it before, but yes, it reminded me. Yes, true, the Lord would have been the only one of around about 30 years of age when he went into his ministry, because all the other babies of that age were put to death by Herod. So, go and search out diligently for the young child. I say possibly a year and a half old. But you can see he's stable, no longer in the manger, and when they were come into the house. And of course, whenever we see all these scenes at Christmas time, and I'm not trying to criticize it too much, but you have the wise men and the shepherds together, and they didn't see each other but it was 18 months apart. And but you see them all gathered around the manger and so forth. But we'll not make too much of a big deal of that. The children need to have their celebrations and so forth. Folks, the wise men were not at the stable. Now, we know for sure they gave three gifts. We don't know how many wise men there was, but we know that they gave three gifts. There was gold, and we haven't got time to go into all this, speaking of his deity. Frankincense, speaking of his beautiful, fragrant life. Myrrh, speaking of his atoning death. And so, whether they knew what the significance of those gifts were or not, I don't know. But that's the three gifts they give, speaking of his death, his life, and his atoning death. But what was the very first thing they gave? The very first thing they gave was themselves. Matthew 2 and verse 11 says, "And when they went to the temple, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." They gave themselves first. Give themselves first. Before they give them any treasures, they give themselves first. And folks, that's the way it is. We give ourselves to the Lord. And then we give and so forth. But they give themselves first. It tells us that they went home a different way also. Look at verse 12. "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." And folks, when we come to the feet of Christ and worship him, just like these wise men, we too will go home a different way. No longer turn to the king of this world, the old devil. No longer to him will we go to be with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We go home a different way. Oh, folks, time is gone. And so, up till now, we have looked at the preparation, the annunciation, the incarnation, and the adoration. We haven't got time to look at the presentation. It'll take an hour, 20 minutes or so. So we'll hold that over to next time. And so, I think it's a great study, just to start at the beginning, to study our Lord's life. And so often, this is left until the 25th of December or early in December to look at. But as I said when I started this, there are some very significant passages in the first chapters of Luke and Matthew that we really need to take notice of. Preparation, annunciation, incarnation, adoration. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, again, we just give thee thanks for the opportunity of being here this afternoon. And Father, what a joy it is to fellowship with these dear folks. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us may have been built up a little bit more in our holy faith, drawn closer to yourself. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We thank thee for the message of the shepherds that went with haste, and then they voiced it around, they spread it about, what they had seen and what they had heard. We thank thee for the wise men who were truly wise and listened to thy word and went home another way after worshipping the Christ child. Father, help us to be the men and women of God that you would have us to be. And we'd be careful to give thee the praise and the glory in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.